Welcome to The Download here on WGN Radio, WGNRadio.com. Well, this past weekend, DePaul University held a symposium to explore and celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Young Lords. The Young Lords started out as a Lincoln Park street gang, but became much more than that. In 1968, the gang transitioned to a human rights organization, protesting abuses of power and the continuing displacement of the local Latino community. The man behind the Young Lords, Jose Chacha Jimenez, was a keynote speaker. Jimenez has dedicated his life to righting the wrongs from institutional racism and inequality, and the famed civil rights leader and human rights champion is in studio with me today on The Download. I'm very honored to have you here, and congratulations on 50 years. I know it was a great symposium this past week.
It's my pleasure, Justin, to be here with you. And Jackie Lasud is also in the studio from a professor at DePaul University that helped us put the symposium together.
How important is it to commemorate the Young Lords 50 years later? How important was this weekend?
It's history of the Latino community that is important and hasn't been told. We played a major role in, for example, the community of Lincoln Park. And today it's not recognizable what took place, but we were from North Avenue all the way to Addison, from Clark Street all the way to Racine. And there was all wall-to-wall Puerto Ricans, wall-to-wall Latinos and working class people that lived there. And the Young Lords were a turnaround gang. You know, we came in there and started just as youth, and the existing ethnic gangs that were there were beating us up. And so we decided to join them and created our own little clique.
That's Chicago history, right?
And started fighting back, which is,
it was
territorial.
I read the book about the race riots in 1919, and they talked about all the different ethnicities had street gangs associated with them. They're almost like they're clubs. There's a lot of questions about whether or not Richard J. Daley was a part of those at the time. But it's interesting to know that street gang doesn't mean necessarily what it means today. This was a necessity for any ethnic group in Chicago.
Exactly. We it was what is considered a territorial gang. So today you have gangs that turned into drug cartels after going through being warehoused in a prison or something like that. Then they came out of that university.
Right.
And become experts in not gang warfare, but selling drugs and the economy and that underground economy. But we were territorial. We were just trying to protect our neighborhood because we were Puerto Rican. It was actually a form of protest that we came up later with. But it was gang fighting. It was a form of protest. We walked into for example, Benny's Pizzeria and ordered the pizza, and they looked at us crazy because that was an Italian neighborhood. But they said, you need to get out of here. And we had a little ruckus, and because we all went to Waller High School together, we were able to get along later. But that's how the neighborhood kind of opened up North Avenue Beach. We were not allowed to go there. So the same thing that was happening in the South with civil rights, we were doing it with gang rights.
Right.
You know?
Gang rights. It's amazing to me because a lot of what the symposium was about was just about, of course, the legacy of the Young Lords, but also about Chicago history. I feel like it is an unwritten chapter of history and Latino presence. And to read this and feel kind of somewhat embarrassed to not know that the area around Holy Name Cathedral, which is La Clark, that was a neighborhood that was the beginning of the Puerto Rican community in Chicago. Talk about
that. So after the World War II, Puerto Ricans began to go to the Midwest, to come to the Midwest, and they settled around the jobs downtown, the hotel jobs or the steel mills that had offices downtown. And we settled around the community of Holy Name Cathedral. And that became a small enclave, and it just grew. But as it grew, the Downtown Business Association, Arthur Rubloff and those people, decided to rehab the area. And so they built the Carl Sandburg Village that displaced everyone there.
Right.
And we had been in Old Town, so they created Old Town, and we were forced into Lincoln Park.
Now, at that time, Lincoln Park is not as we know it today. Lincoln Park was kind of a forgotten area.
It was actually segregated and diverse at the same time. Segregated, I mean, two or three blocks were Italians, two or three blocks were German, two or three blacks were Irish, they're Polish, Gypsy, and Puerto Rican and Mexican. And so it was segregated in that way, but that as a community, a neighborhood, it was very diverse. But the city, it had more than that. The city, when the minorities were coming in from the south with the Great Migration, a lot of the communities left. It was called white flight, I guess, at that time, to the suburbs.
Right, right.
And Mayor Daley, he came in and he wanted to build his patronage machine. And so it was built on the backs of Lincoln Park and neighborhoods like that, the Chicago 21 plan.
And yeah, and the it's fascinating to think about this too, because you see it today, but the frame or the words, the phrase urban renewal, or right, these catchphrases that sound like it's good for any community, but it's code. It's code, and it means gentrification, or it means we want a different ethnicity in this area.
Right, so today we call new urbanism, but it's the same thing. So, you know, they have well-intentioned people from the neighborhood associations are well-intentioned, but they have no power either. It's really about democracy. It's really they came in and did a land grab and took our neighborhood from us and didn't give us a voice to express ourselves. We're not against development. We're for it. We think it,
right.
In fact, our parents were angry with us. They said, well, they're trying to clean up the neighborhood. Let them do that. But it was not for us. We didn't have a voice. We didn't have any input in it. We already had a diverse community. You know, we already had a natural support network, and they destroyed that. So even, I mean, we can get into a whole thing about how the gang situation today is related to urban renewal.
I want to know about
and
that.
And displacement.
Yeah.
You know, we
I found it interesting too, because one way that they went about urban renewal was to take on the Young Lords and to sort of eradicate that gang, and it was in the late 60s in which you went to jail. And coming out of that, the gang was not the gang it was. It was dispersed. It was destroyed, if you will, by the Chicago police or Chicago authorities. Talk about the transition, because you came back out of jail and saw that the gang was not the same. What were you thinking?
Well, you know, I went to jail because what happens is the gang, those type of gangs, when they start dwindling down, they get into drugs. People get into drugs. It was the Vietnam era, free love. People are coming from Vietnam, getting married, moving away. So our gang was getting dwindled, you know. And so I wanted to change my life. You know, I went to jail and wanted to stop using drugs. I had got caught for heroin possession at that time, and I did 60 days. And so I want to go to confession. I went to confession. I want to just change my our families are Catholics, you know, so I wanted to be a priest at one time. So I wanted to just go back to that type of lifestyle with my child and my wife and that. But I came and I saw the whole changes that were going on. There were people that were beginning to, that were not Puerto Rican, that were trying to organize to try to save the community at that time. And we kind of got connected. And I got the Democratic Convention was taking
right,
place,
right, right.
And while I was in jail, the rioters were coming in, so I saw them. They were doing the annual roundups of the migrants. So all that was going on at the same time. And the Panthers in Oakland, where the Black Panther Party was talking about arming themselves, you know, for revolution.
Right, right.
And I said, that's what we need because of all the conditions that we're going through. So at first I tried to start a group called the Puerto Rican Progressive Movement, and we couldn't get any joint people to join. So I said, why, you know, I'm already the president of this gang. Why don't I just change the gang, try to work to change the gang?
Was that hard to do? People in the neighborhood know it's a street gang?
We got beat up a few times, and half of the group did not support it in the beginning. So we had our own little physical and struggles. We still have them today. But we were able to, you know, we wanted everyone to be part of it. And we just kept on trying to do whatever we could to different events. We set up different programs modeled after the Panthers. We even had a free daycare center because we had a non-politically correct name for the women, the Young Lordettes. But they were actually the people that were always involved in doing the hard labor.
And at this time, I mean, in the late 60s, after the 68 convention, and you mentioned the Black Panthers, right. Black Panther Party, but also the Young Lords and then the hippies and the left right. that were coming together, there was a coalition that was almost formed that you could go down to a protest in Chicago and Days of Rage or whatever and see a disparate, diverse amount of protesters. It wasn't just long-haired white hippies. There was the Young Lords or Black Panthers. Talk about how that came together, because it seems like strange bedfellows for street gangs turned human rights organizations and anti-war hippies on the lakefront.
So we had hillbillies that called themselves the Young Patriots, and they were wearing the Confederate flag and that, and the Panthers, you know, were kind of working with them. Half the Panthers didn't want anything to do with them, and we just didn't understand that war between the North and the South. It was different for us. But, you know, we kind of came together with the Young Patriots, Southern Whites, the Black Panther Party, the Young Lords, and later on Brown Berets, the American Indian Movement. We kind of just saw that it was we had a common struggle, a common bond. So it wasn't an organization. It was just a symbolic movement called the Rainbow Coalition before the Reverend Jesse Jackson. In fact, he appreciated that he called his group the Rainbow Push Coalition later. So we think that that's good that people imitated what we what Fred Hampton was trying to do. But we had a lot of repression come down because of that, because Mayor Daley called the war on gangs. And he, instead of targeting some of the people that are traditionally gangs, he targeted us.
He lobbed you guys in, right?
The people that wanted to stop gangs.
Right.
I mean, we didn't want to be in a gang.
And that would assume.
And we transitioned in 68. It's very important that be clear. In 68, we specifically said we do not want to be a gang. Now, it took us a while to change that. We were still because we were getting our political education on the street corner. We didn't go to a classroom. So it was difficult to change that, and it takes time. It's still changing. But we were able to make it clear and say we are not going to fight another group. And we are going to fight for our people and our community and work. And see, this is a movement. The Young Lords are inseparable from the community, and people try to sometimes separate us. But we were fighting for our parents, and we were fighting for our siblings, and we were fighting for the community. So our parents wanted just Spanish mass. That's all they wanted. And they set up councils in different cities. In fact, the Cardinals Committee paid Saul Alinsky to train them. So they had a very good organization, right. And we were learning from them, and then later on we learned from the Panthers. But they set up the church, the baseball leagues, the softball teams. They had annual retreats, and we did that later as Young Lords. We learned from them.
You saw as the 70s kind of played out, like you just mentioned with Mayor Daley at the time, a war on gangs. And you saw, of course, the famed story of Fred Hampton and the Chicago Police and the sort of Daley Squad or the Red Squad. Same with the Young Lords, a lot of undocumented, if you will, back and forth between you and police authorities and authorities in the city. And you saw systematically it being dismantled, that this coalition that had come together and had such political power for people on the street in the late 60s was being attacked and taken apart.
Right, so, you know, I had I had collected 18 felonies in a 6-week period for demonstrations, basically, with charges ranging from aggravated assault against police to mob action just for going to a demonstration. Even before I went to the demonstration, I was arrested for mob action. So I wasn't the only one. They were targeting different leaders. The Red Squad, we had the Red Squad against us, the Gang Intelligence Unit, the patronage machine of Daley was against us. The FBI COINTELPRO program was against us. So the Justice Department was coming to interview people right in front of the church, and the members were telling me, well, they said they're our friends, you know. And I said, well, so you're giving them information? but we were all of the groups, the neighborhood association with the aldermen formed a group called UPTIGHT, United People to Inform Good Doers. And they were writing letters to the Bishop Pryor to take the Young Lords out and Reverend Bruce Johnson out of the People's Church. We had Pastor Reverend Bruce Johnson killed in a cold case that this weekend we had a memorial march through Lincoln Park in his memory, and we had people from the United Methodist Church come with us. The superintendent was there, and that Elaine Brown came from Oakland because we want that case opened up. So it's that happened 2 months before Fred Hampton. And there were other Panthers nationwide being killed at the time.
And you got to understand at that point that what you're telling us is that this was obvious.
It was obvious.
The Panthers won a lawsuit,
a multi-million dollar lawsuit, because they would prove that the Edward Hanrahan came to assassinate Fred Hampton. That was proven through the people's office.
For all the things that are happening in 2018, and you see a lot of a mobilizing of a protest culture once again, you do have to learn from history that a lot of the things that happened to you, you would consider to be a huge story in 2018 that people would be like, I can't believe that's happening. Or would we? Meaning a lot of people aren't paying attention to what's happening to protest groups
What you're saying, Justin, because a lot of people, the Latino community was invisible at that time. And that's why the Young Lords were very important, because we brought the Latino community to the forefront. Everything was based, you know, at that time the civil rights movement was trying to unite black and white together, we shall overcome. And there were Latinos, you know, Cesar Chavez and Tejerina and other people protesting there, but they were kind of Corky Gonzalez, but they were quiet. For us, they weren't. We saw them as our leaders at that time. But the Young Lords really brought the Latinos to the forefront on a national level, because we had about 27 chapters nationwide. New York is our most pronounced chapter at that time. Yeah, that was going on. We just were not in the forgotten history of Chicago and nationwide.
Well, and it's
today we have the Great Wall that our president is doing, and it's not enough. There's not enough protests
over
that.
It.
You know, I'm surprised.
Locally in Chicago, and I think about this a lot, because to hear your story and to read all about it and to talk to you today, to think about the Puerto Rican roots on Clark Street, right there in downtown Chicago, across from Holy Name in that area, to Old Town, to Lincoln Park, to be moved west, to be displaced to Wicker Park or to other neighborhoods in that area, then to be moved again, and to see in 2018 that even some Puerto Rican neighborhoods that you would never think, Humboldt Park comes to mind. Mm-hmm. You just know that to be a Latino neighborhood. That's not the case anymore. I said people get pushed and pushed. Why is that? Why do we see constant Latino displacement in the city of Chicago?
Well, I think people don't understand that displacement comes from City Hall. So this has happened all over the country. And it's an effort for the mayors to organize their base, their political base in the machine. And so it's supported by the federal dollars. And it's about economics. And it's about making profit for housing and not really working on the issues or the concerns of the community. So you have a gang problem and you just don't even deal with it. You just try to sell some more houses, you know, try to turn around more buildings, flip more buildings and that. And so the territory of downtown and the lakefront and that's prime real estate. And so they need to get rid of us because at that time it was blatant. They were saying we were lowering property values just for being Latino or black and that. But that's really what the issue is. So they're pushing us to the suburbs or to the outskirts of the city. We're being more into concentrated poverty because there's nothing being done. And then that proliferates the gangs. So today you have super gangs. That didn't come out, you know, that wasn't overnight. That's a long process of small little clubs like us that were just territorial gangs in the neighborhood. And we might have, we might have done some petty crimes.
Right. Some skirmishes here and there.
Yeah, skirmishes here and there. But now they're into drug cartels and they're never going to change. And these people are going to come out eventually and create more chaos in the community. So we have an opportunity because all the kids in the block are our children. So they're not all responsible for these killings. And we could work with them, but we haven't done that.
What's the course of action for a Puerto Rican community in Chicago? Is it politics? Can it be a Latino mayor that would change the course of the way that this population has been treated over years?
Well, one of the things is, you know, because of the repression, COINTELPRO, we had to go underground as a central committee of the Young Lords. And I had still had a year to serve in jail, so I came. We took some people to Tomo, Wisconsin, about 24 people that lived together to be the new central committee for the Young Lords and come back. And we came back. I turned myself in. I did the year in jail. And from the jail, we announced that I was going to run for alderman of the 46th Ward. So it took a little bit, but the first time we got 39% of the vote. And Helen Schiller did she was like four terms up there.
Yeah.
So that kept going, and that led to the Harold Washington campaign later. So
there has been. You have seen. You can draw direct lines from the movement, the Young Lords movement, to a political uprising, as we saw with the Harold Washington legacy,
and then even to the Obama campaign, and that which, you know, we don't believe individuals make change, and that's the situation there. We can see it today. You know, we always talked about a people's change, a people's revolution, if you want.
For all that you've put into your life fighting for human rights and for to right the wrongs of inequality and racism, poverty, things of that nature, is Chicago still your home? Is Chicago your city?
No, Chicago is, you know, I was born in Caguas, Puerto Rico, so that's my home, of course. But, you know, we're connected to Puerto Rico. The Puerto Rican community up here is the diaspora of Puerto Rico. There's, 5 million Puerto Ricans here and only 3.5 over there. So that's part of the scattering of our nation that they want, because they want to do a land grab there. You know, that all they want is the land. They don't care about the people. They just want the land. We're a territory of the United States because of that. So we're connected. It's really Puerto Rico here, too.
Right.
So we tell so from the very beginning, the Young Lords held some of the largest demonstrations in Chicago for Puerto Rican independence, for self-determination for Puerto Rico, which is what the United States, we're all about here, too. So we have our youth, our children, that my children were all born here. And so we have them that they are Americans, but we're Puerto Ricans at the same time.
Well, you know, the story you tell about your parents and how they didn't necessarily agree with what you want to do with the Young Lords in Lincoln Park. As you talk about your grandkids and the generations that are coming up, Latino Puerto Rican generations, are they political? Are they recognize the struggles of the generations in front of them? Or is it the same kind of thing, like from generation to generation, that you have to get them to listen?
My kids, I kind of let them choose what they want, but they're following, they're learning. But it's like a natural politics, because you have to recognize that we have never had a stable community. You know, we've been pushed from one neighborhood to the other. So it's not a question of, it's not an issue with us. It's this natural process of us being displaced, of being segregated, of prejudice, of racism that exists. And so it's part of our life, you know, that we have to fight to empower ourselves. You know, that's what the Young Lord's mission is. You know, we want to self-determination for Puerto Rico, and we want to empower our neighborhoods, our communities, and we want to diversity. We want integration. We are against segregation. So, you know, that's what we want.
Jose Chacha Jimenez in studio. He was just in town for the DePaul University 50th anniversary, a symposium on the 50th anniversary of the Young Lords. Chacha Jimenez, of course, not only one of the co-founders of Street Gang, but the face behind the Young Lords, the human rights organization that continues. Thanks so much. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you.
I mean, it's a great, and thank you for all you've done. And I look forward to looking at the city in a different way after having this conversation. So I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Justin.